following is an audio presentation of the South India Yatra, which was held from June 2nd, 1999 to June 11th, 1999. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj led a congregation of about 550 devotees to various places of South India, particularly the holy shrines of Andhra Pradesh. Following the same route as 500 years back Lord Chaitanya did, visiting the various places of South India, devotees visited Kurukshetra, Simhachalam, Kavur, Mangalgiri, Ahobilam, and Tirupati. On June 2, 1999, on the first day of the Yatra, devotees came to Kurukshetra.
তরে তিষ্ঠতি তব পৃষ্ঠে ধারণি ধারণ কিন চক্র গরিষ্ঠে কেশব ধৃত কূর্ম শরীর জয় জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে রানী ধারণা কি না চক্রধারে কেশব ধৃতা শরীর জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে জগদীশ হরে বসতি দশন শিখরে ধরণী তব লগ্ন শাসিনী কলঙ্ক কলেব নিমগ্ন কেশব ধৃত শুকর রূপ জয় জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে বসতি শিখরে ধরণী তব লগ্ন শশিনী কলঙ্ক কলেব নিমগ্ন কেশব ধৃত শুকর রূপ জয় জগদীশ হরে কবকর কমল বরে নখামগুত সিংহা দলিত হিরণ্যকশিত হিরণ্যকশিপু তানু বৃঙ্গা কেশব ধৃত নরহরি রূপ জয় জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে জয় জগদীশ হরে
কম কর কমল ভরে নখামগুত সিংহা দলিত হিরণ্যকশিপু তনু বৃঙ্গা কেশব ধৃত নরহরি রূপ জয় জগদীশ হরে
শিবিক্রমণে বলে মা
అద్భుతవామనా పదనక నీరజనిత జన పావనా కేశవద్రీత వామన రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
చలయసి విక్రమణె బలిమద్భుతవామ పదనఖ నీరజని సజన పావన కేశవధీత వామన రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ
జగదీశ హరే క్షత్రియ రుదిరమయే జగదపగత పాపా స్నపయసి పయసి శమిత భవతాపా కేశవధీత భృగుపతి రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
శాస్త్రీయ రుధిరమయే జగదపగత పాప స్నపయసి పయసి శమిత భవతాప కేశవధీత భృగుపతి రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే
సరసి దిక్షురణే దిక్పతి కమనీయా దశముఖ మౌలి బలిం రమణీయా కేశవద్రీత రామ శరీర జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
సరసి దిక్షురణె దిక్పతి కమనీయా దశముఖ మౌలి బలిం రమణీయా కేశవధీత రామ శరీర జయ జగదీశ
వహ శివ పుషి విశదే వసనం జలదాభం అలహతి భీతి మిలిత యమునాభం కేశవద్రీత హలదర రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
మహశివ పుషి విశదేవ సనం జలదాభ హలహతి భిగి మిలిత యమునాభ కేశవధీత హలదర రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
సి యజ్ఞ విధేరహ శ్రుతి జాతా సదయ హృదయ దర్శిత పశుధాతా కేశవద్రీత బుద్ధ శరీర జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
దశి యజ్ఞ విధేయః శ్రుతి జాతా సదయ హృదయ దర్శిత పశుఘాతా కేశవధీత బుద్ధ శరీర
ేచ్చ ಚನಿವಹ ನಿಧನೆ ಕಲಯಸಿ ಕರವಾಲ ಧೂಮಕೆ ತುಮಿವ ಕಿಮಪಿ ಕರಾಲ ಕೇಶವದೀತ ಕಲ್ಕಿ ಶರೀರ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ
ನಿವಹ ನಿಧನೆ ಕಲಯ ಶಿಖರ ವಾಲ ಜಿಮಕೆ ತುಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಮಾಪಿ ಕರಾಲ ಕೇಶವ
ಜಯ ದೇವ ಕವೇರಿ ದಮುದಿತ ಮುದಾರ ಶೃಣು ಸುಖದಂ ಶುಭದಂ ಭವಸಾರ ಕೇಶವದ್ರೀತ ದಶವಿಧ ರೂಪ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ
It is a very great benediction that we could be in this very holy place today. Kuramakshetra, to begin our 1999 summer yatra. It's a special yatra. In the world today, there is so much imbalance in people's consciousness. So much violence, confusion. Kali Yuga means quarrel and hypocrisy. In the Western world, people are thinking that this may be the beginning of World War III. There's a terrible war going on. Here in the Eastern world, people are also saying this may be the beginning of World War III. So everywhere, even within the Hare Krishna movement, there's so much fighting. Not only the Hare Krishna movement. In Kali Yuga, every molecule is fighting every other molecule. Because it's the age of twirling hypocrisy. And the year 2000 is coming, the change of a millennium. And because man creates a particular state of consciousness by which they are conceiving a certain type of time calculation. And karma is also connected to people's consciousness. And there's so much terrible karma. Day by day, year by year, millennium by millennium. So this is a particular yatra that is special for the protection of devotees. We should take it very seriously. Like every yatra, we should be very much in a prayerful and enthusiastic mood. We should welcome austerities as a gift of God for our purification. We should not think material inconveniences are troublesome. We should welcome them with glad hearts. Because inconveniences in the association of 500 devotees in holy places, where all that we're doing is chanting, dancing, hearing Hari Katha, and taking nice South Indian prasad. Any inconvenience within this environment is actually blissful. It is just a matter of consciousness. Everything is how we perceive it. If you don't like someone, if they come into the room, you're very depressed. And if you like that same person when he comes into the room, you're elated. So is that person the cause of distress or elation? It's how you perceive him. Similarly, if we perceive troubles to our body and mind as something that shouldn't happen to me, why is it happening to me? Then it will cause you distress. But if you see it as an opportunity to embrace the Lord within your heart with a grateful spirit, and just with your enthusiasm transcend that difficulty, then that difficulty is a source of bliss. Yam hi navyati yante te purusham purushashava samadukha sukham dhiram somritatvaiva kalpate. One who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, and who is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. So what is happiness and distress? It is not very important. What is important is that we are making progress on the march back home, back to Godhood. So let us not speak any gossip, any nonsense. Let us only speak the glorious pastimes of the Lord. Let us only speak those subjects that will help illuminate the hearts of the devotees. Especially we should speak on the subjects of how we can better serve the devotees. And we should dance very blissfully and take prasad very heartily. And be very attentive during these long talks. It's tapasya, no doubt. And let us encourage each other in this way. Kurukshetra is a very important place. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is the first place Lord Chaitanya stopped during his South Indian tour. And some of the most important incidents in Lord Chaitanya's life took place right where we are sitting today. One of the most famous of all verses in our entire Vaishnava literature was spoken right here. It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the month of Magh, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. In the month of Phalgun, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri. At the end of the month of Phalgun, Lord Chaitanya observed the Dola Yatra. There he danced and chanted in great ecstatic love. In the month of Chaitra, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his transcendental discussions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And in that month, he liberated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from all of his illusory Mayavad conclusions and established him in pure unalloyed devotional service. In the month of Vaishakha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that he would take his tour of South India. Now you may be thinking, this is a very hot time of the year to go to South India. But this is exactly the same time of the year that Lord Chaitanya was here at Kurukshetra, Singhachalam. He met Ramananda Rai at this time of the year. It wasn't until he came to Sri Rangam that the monsoons began. So he traveled through this time during the only time he ever came here was during the summer months. So we are so very, very fortunate that we are traversing these places in exactly the same sequence as Lord Chaitanya did in the same time of the year. But an added feature, that this is the month of Purushottam, where anything you do spiritually, the credits are multiplied hundreds or thousands of times. Most auspicious. Padma Purana and other great scriptures describe in elusive glories of Purushottam Mass. If you go to Vrindavan, all the major temples, they consider that Purushottam month is so spiritually significant that every day includes and embodies all the festivals of the year. They celebrate every major festival during Purushottam month. One day they have Janmashtami, one day they have Radhashtami, the next day they have Govardhan Puja, the next day they have Gaur Purnima, the next day they have Jula Yatra, the next day they have Balaram's Rasa Yatra, the next day they have Rasa Lila. Because all these holy times, they are all manifested during Purushottam Mass. And by celebrating any of these festivals, by going to any place of pilgrimage, by having kirtan, hearing Harikatha attentively, we make great, great spiritual progress. So how fortunate we are. We're following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. We may be taking buses, but it's the same sequence of places at the same time of the year in the month of Purushottam, and the association of so many glorious Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called all of his devotees together. Holding their hands, he humbly spoke to them. He said, "You are all more dear to me than my life. I could give up my life, but to give up you will be very difficult for me. You are all such dear friends. In executing the duties of real friend, you have brought me to Sri Jagannath Puri. And you have allowed me to have darshan of Lord Jagannath in his temple. I have one bit of charity that I wish to beg from you. I desire to go on a tour of South India. I wish to look for my brother, Vishwaroop. I want to go alone with none of you. All of you, please happily remain in Jagannath Puri, and I will go to Setubandhu, and then I will return to meet you again. When the devotees heard this, their hearts were broken. They were utterly silent. Their faces were sullen. They could not speak. Then Nityananda Prabhu, somehow or other, words came out of his mouth. He said, "My Lord, how can any of us tolerate this? How is it possible that you go alone? Please, my Lord, you are independent. You can do as you like, but kindly hear my plea. Your words are breaking our hearts. On the road, there are so many thieves and dacoits that may trouble you. It is not proper for you to go alone. You should take at least one or two others. And I know the way. If you order me to go, certainly I will go." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that I am like a dancer, a dancing doll, and you are pulling the wires. In whatever way you pull the wires to make me dance, in that way I must dance. When I wanted to go to Vrindavan, you tricked me and brought me to Advaita Prabhu's home in Santipur. When I was trying to follow the proper regulative principles of a sannyas on the way to Puri, you broke my danda in three places and threw it away. And in this way you have caused great trouble to my activities as a sannyasi. Jagadananda Pandit, he hates to see when I engage in renunciation. He's always trying to give me sense gratification. And not only that, he stands with a stick to punish me. He thinks I am a neophyte in regard to all kinds of etiquette. And he is always there to correct me, although I am a sannyasi and he is a brahmachari. And When Mukunda sees me bathing in the cold waters in the winter, and sleeping on the cold ground, he will not say anything. But I see the pain in his heart. And when I see the pain in his heart, that causes me even greater unhappiness. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praising his devotees. It is explained by Srila Prabhupada that Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to perform the severe austerities of a renunciate during his travels, to set this example for others. But he understood how much pain the devotees felt when they saw him engaging in tapasya. And the Lord could not bear to see pain in the face of his devotees. So for this reason, he wanted to go alone. And he was in the guise of criticizing them, he was actually glorifying them for their great affection. Because in the affection of pure devotees for the Lord, it is beyond the rules and regulations that are observed by neophyte devotees. The Lord Chaitanya was tasting the sweetness of the glories of his devotees. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, with great humility, he said, "My Lord, whatever you say ultimately, you will do, and we must accept it. Whether it makes us happy or unhappy doesn't matter. What matters is that you are happy. But please, let me humbly make one appeal. That while you are traveling, you will be chanting the holy names of the Lord with one hand. You will be counting the mantras with another hand. And you will require to carry loincloth, external garments, and a water pot. That's all you'll be carrying. But how will you carry them if you are chanting and counting? And besides that, when you fall unconscious in your ecstatic bliss chanting the holy name, someone has to be there to protect your loincloth, your garments, and your water pot. So you need not take us, but there is one person named Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas. He will not say anything. He will just help you. Please take him." Lord Chaitanya accepted this offer. He took all the devotees to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya greeted Lord Chaitanya with great, great love and affection. Lord Chaitanya said, "I have come here to receive an order from you." "I desire to find my brother, Vishwarup. I want to go on a tour of South India." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it was like a thunderbolt in his heart. He said, "My Lord, due to some inconceivable pious activities that I may have performed sometime, I have attained your association. And now you're going to leave me. Let a thunderbolt fall directly on my head, or let my son die. I don't mind. But feeling separation from you is intolerable. But my Lord, whatever pleases you, you must do. I have only one request. Stay here at least for 5 more days." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house for about 5 days. Every day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife, whose name is Sati Mata, cooked wonderful prasad. And the Lord took nice prasad with his devotees. And they had chanting, dancing, and harikatha throughout the day. This was in the month of summer. Hare Krishna. After the 5 days, Lord Chaitanya began to walk along the road. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he made one request. "When you come to the place called Vidyanagar, on the banks of the river Godavari, there is a great devotee of the name Ramananda Rai. He is such a scholar and so pure, so expert in transcendental mellows. I believe there is no other person like him in all the world. You will find great satisfaction in his association. Previously I met him, and I considered him an ordinary government officer because he's coming from a Sudra caste. And when I saw that he was a Vaishnava, due to my past impious background, I made fun of him. I could not take him seriously.
But now that I have received your mercy,
I can understand what a glorious personality he surely is. Please, my lord, please find him. Give him your association. You will be very happy. Lord Chaitanya promised him he would. Then he walked on. As Lord Chaitanya left, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, unbearable it was for him to see the Lord leaving. He was a Mayavadi his whole life. The Lord finally gave him Krishna Bhakti, then he left. The Bhattacharya fell unconscious. Lord Chaitanya did not even look back, he just walked on. Kaviraj Goswami explains, this is the nature of great souls. They are sometimes harder than a thunderbolt and sometimes softer than a rose. Nityananda Prabhu picked up Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and had with his men brought him home. Then they all went to Alalana, which is a town near the ocean, close to Jagannath Puri. Alalanath, beautiful deity of Lord Narayan. Lord Chaitanya went there with Nityananda Prabhu and his devotees, and there they were chanting and dancing in great ecstasy. As Lord Chaitanya was chanting in front of the deities, he was crying, he was laughing, he was dancing so beautifully that all the people of the area started coming, running to see the beautiful dance of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw everyone, he lifted his arms and requested everyone to chant Hari Hari.
Hari Hari!
The whole town was dancing and dancing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were all chanting Krishna's holy name with great, great bliss. When Nityananda Prabhu saw this, he became so happy. He predicted. It was at this time that he predicted that Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he will cause all people in all towns and all villages to dance and chant in ecstatic love of Krishna. Lord Nityananda Prabhu somehow or other controlled the Lord so that he could have prasad. Lord Chaitanya took his bath. They closed the temple. The Lord took prasad. But there were thousands and thousands of people all around the temple waiting for another kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out and again started chanting, induced everyone to loudly chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
They danced throughout the day. Then the next morning, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for the South Indian tour. He sent all the devotees except Kal Krishna Das back. As the Lord went away, Nityananda Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas fell unconscious, and Lord Chaitanya just walked on. As he was walking, he was feeling great pains of unhappiness due to separation from his devotees. But he had a mission. A mission of spreading the glories of Harinam Sankirtan to all the provinces of the south. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking down the roadsides, he was like a mad lion, singing a beautiful song in praise of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna,
Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava,
Krishna, 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 Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna
Keshava,
when the Lord was chanting,
people would be very attracted, would see him on the roadside. Lord Chaitanya would turn to them and raise his arms and tell them, chant, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
They would start to chant with him. As they were chanting, they could not give up his association. They followed the Lord wherever he went. Chanting along with the Lord, they were all dancing and singing. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would turn to them, and each of the men he would affectionately embrace. When Mahaprabhu embraced them, he invested within them his spiritual potency. Then those devotees who had become completely purified by chanting in the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became empowered preachers. Lord Chaitanya then sent them to their own villages. Those devotees went to their villages completely intoxicated with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Whoever they would see, they would instruct them, chant the holy names of Krishna. Take this Maha Mantra. Become free of all your petty sufferings of this world and experience transcendental bliss. Whoever they instructed would begin chanting and dancing. Those people who met them would go back to their villages. Anyone who they even glanced upon would become filled with bhakti. They would teach them how to chant and dance according to the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those people, they would just go village to village to village, telling everyone, whoever they met, about the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. In this way, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in all villages and provinces became intoxicated, chanting the holy names of
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare.
Wherever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, the same process took place. He would dance. He would invite people to chant the Maha Mantra. Then he would embrace them. Then he would send them away to go out preaching the glories of the holy name. Whoever you meet, tell them about the chanting of Hare Krishna. There's no need to suffer repetition of birth and death. The holy name has descended. Then Lord Chaitanya came to the very holy place, Kurumakshetra.
According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the first place recorded where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped in his South Indian tour. When he came to this deity of Kurmadev and saw the beauty of this wonderful form of the Lord became mad in ecstatic love. In the temple of Kurmadev, Lord Chaitanya began his kirtan. He called everyone in the temple and invited them to start chanting with him. After teaching them the process of chanting, he himself chanted and started to dance. Lord Chaitanya's beautiful golden form was so graceful, so enchanting as he danced, that people started coming from all over this village just to see the dance. Whoever saw him began dancing themselves, loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya was laughing, he was crying, he was trembling. People were struck with wonder. Dancing and dancing for a long time, the priest, the pujari of the Kurma temple, came with garlands and other offerings of Mahaprasad from the deity to offer to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was at that time that a Brahmin of the name of Kurma very humbly invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to his home. When Lord Chaitanya came to the house of the Kurma Brahmin, the Kurma Brahmin washed his lotus feet after giving him a nice sitting place. Then he took that water and with all of his family members sprinkled that on their heads and drank it. The Kurma Brahmin spoke, "These two lotus feet are constantly meditated upon by Lord Brahma. Today, those same lotus feet have come into my home. I cannot calculate the extreme of my good fortune. It cannot be described. Today, my family, my birth, my riches have all become glorious. My Lord, I am very, very unhappy to be suffering due to the waves of the miseries of materialistic life. Please grant me one benediction, that I may leave my home and go with you. I can no longer tolerate the miseries of material life." This is very instructive. The Kurma Brahmin had said that his family had become all glorious. His home, his riches, his life. He was not unhappy in his family life. He was probably the most successful householder that anyone has ever seen. He wasn't poor, chaste, faithful wife, nice children who were very humble and obedient. He had everything, all the joys and happinesses of a family. But yet, he was telling Lord Chaitanya what great unhappiness he was feeling due to the waves of misery of material life. Very appropriate example. The waves of the miseries of materialistic life. Material existence is like an ocean. Even if everything's very happy, if you think everything is going just your way, good health, good profits, nobody arguing in the family, even if everyone's a nice devotee. Still, you're in the ocean of material existence. And the waves of misery are constantly tossing back and forth. There can be no real happiness in material existence. And we can see in our life, sometimes things are very nice, but know for sure that a wave is coming. If you're in the ocean, can you escape the waves? The ocean is nothing but waves. Sometimes they lift you up, sometimes they pull you down. Everything is temporary. Even the happiness of this world. At any moment, death. Just a few days ago, I was with my father. I'll just tell you one nice thing he told me. You remember my father when he was here and died? He has everyone in the family that he was brought up in has died except one sister, his younger sister. A very close family. And she was very healthy and happy by material standards. And one day she had some problem in her stomach and they took her to the hospital and they found out she had cancer and it had already spread to all parts of her body and she only had months to live. And very quickly she deteriorated and came down to about one third of her weight. And we visited her and my father said to me, he said, I spent my whole life trying to make money. So most all of my time of my life was trying to make money. But with all my money, there's nothing I can do to help my sister. Nothing. So he said, so what is the value of money? What happiness can money bring anyone? The things that you really need, the things that you really want to do for others, money cannot do it. Therefore, he said, I consider that money has really no importance in a person's life. You have to do it just to survive, but it really has no importance. Why should we waste our life for this when there's so many things more sacred and more important? So I was happy that he had this realization. I think it's due to all of your association. So the Kurma Brahman, he was begging the Lord to give him permission to renounce family life, become a renunciate, and travel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya replied to him, do not speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy names of Krishna always. Then he spoke one of the most famous of all verses. Yari deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara goi guru hoi tarai desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will meet again here, or rather, you will never lose my company. The path of bhakti is so powerful that even in household life, if we become attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord,
nothing will instruct our spiritual progress.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to impress upon the Kurma Brahman and everyone through him that there is no need to hastily or artificially renounce our responsibilities in household life. There's no need to change our particular status or position in society. In fact, it is detrimental to our spiritual life if it is done immaturely. When one is chanting the holy names of the Lord, and when one's family is united in that spirit, then one's home becomes not different than Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains that Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip are the great holy places that we go on pilgrimage. However, any household, whether it be in New York City, Melbourne, Australia, London, England, Mombasa, Kenya, Moscow, Russia, or Bombay, India, that place is none different than Vrindavan. There's no need to leave it to go anywhere else. If we are constantly chanting the holy names of Christ. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would regularly go to a Brahmin's house when invited, or otherwise he would just sleep on the roadside or under a tree. Then the next morning he would take his bath and then continue his travels. So the next morning he left the Kurma Brahmin's house, and Kurma followed him a long distance. But finally, Lord Chaitanya insisted how much he was concerned that he goes home and follows his instruction as was given. And Kaviraja Goswami teaches us that everywhere Lord Chaitanya went, he taught everyone the same instruction as he gave the Kurma Brahmin. No need to change your current status in life. Just always chant the holy names of Krishna and instruct others in the science of Krishna consciousness. This is how he preached to people who were already situated in the Grihastha ashram. After Lord Chaitanya left, there was one Brahmin of the name Vasudev. Vasudev had leprosy, but he was very humble and pure. He heard the night before that Lord Chaitanya was at the house of Kurma, in Kurma Kshetra. So he came to that place the next morning. But when he arrived, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left. Vasudev felt so unfortunate upon hearing that he missed the opportunity for the darshan of the Lord that he fell unconscious. Vasudev had such an advanced state of leprosy that every part of his body was so rotten with disease that worms were eating his body away. However, Vasudev was such a compassionate soul. If a single worm would fall from his body, he would gently pick it up and place it exactly in the place that it fell from. He considered the worm more important than himself. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the grief of his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead changed the direction of his travels to come back to Kurma Kshetra, to the house of the Kurma Brahman, just to meet Vasudev. As soon as he saw him, Lord Chaitanya embraced him
Vasudeva's body immediately became cured of all diseased. Perfect, healthy, resplendent with beauty, golden complexion.
Filled with happiness. Vasudeva was so much humbled in gratitude by the mercy of the Lord. He quoted Sudama Vipra from Srimad Bhagavatam, that I am a very poor, unqualified, sinful friend of a Brahmin. And you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And still, you have embraced me with your own arms. Vasudeva said that your mercy is supreme. No one can be so merciful as you. I am so sinful. My skin is so rotten that even the most sinful person will not come near me due to the terrible, intolerable odors that are coming out of my rotten body. And yet you have embraced me. Vasudeva was considering that if he becomes proud due to getting the special mercy of the Lord, that his whole mood of devotion will be spoiled. He became very fearful, because ultimately, what is the use of a beautiful, healthy body if we're not pleasing to Krishna? The body's going to get old, rotten, and die anyway. Real happiness is to please Krishna. So in this fear, Vasudeva expressed how to be free from this pride, even after receiving such special, inconceivable mercy from you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that pride will never enter your heart if you are always chanting the holy names of
Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And whoever you meet, wherever you meet them, instruct them in the science of Krishna consciousness. Induce them to chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada explains that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is established on the same principle. That every one of us were fallen, lost souls. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who had come on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, we are all given great hope and happiness. We've been given the mercy of Krishna. We should be grateful. And how to pay back for that mercy? There's only one way: to give it to others, to preach. One who preaches Krishna consciousness becomes a very dear devotee to Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada told us this. When we ask, how can we repay you? What can we do for you? What I have given you, give to others. That was the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vasudeva, you want to know how you can show your gratitude for the mercy you received? Give this mercy to others. Preach the glories of the chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became known as Vasudeva Amrita Prada. This name is even in one of the poems of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It means one who has given nectar to the leper Vasudeva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then continued his tour As he left, the Kurma Brahman and Vasudev were embracing one another, immersed in thoughts of the mercy that they had received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were dancing and chanting. When Lord Chaitanya came to this temple of Kurma Dev, he revealed it as a very great holy place. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially came on the same tour that we're going on, in the same sequence. Nityananda Prabhu came here during his tour. Gauranga Mahaprabhu came here on his tour. And back, I believe it was in the 1920s or 30s, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, with some of his most dear disciples by train, they came to Kurmakshetra, Singhachalam, Kavur, Vidyanagar, Mangalagiri, Shishailam, Ahovalam, and Tirupati. Same path. And he established footprints of Lord Chaitanya to commemorate his visit to this place. Just to our left, you will see the beautiful footprints of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how when the demigods were being defeated by the demons, they were in a very hopeless situation. So they approached Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu told them, no use fighting with them now, because due to the modes of material nature, they're stronger than you. This is important to understand. Even if we're devotees, sometimes the asuric forces will be more powerful than us. And it's not good to fight against it. It's good to make some compromise. So Lord Chaitanya said, you compromise with them, but do it under my order, and you will be successful. Tell them that if they help you to churn the ocean of milk with the Mandara Mountain, then nectar will come from that churning. That nectar will give long life of great, great power to enjoy. So everyone likes nectar. So the demons were thinking, we're more powerful than the demigods, so when the nectar comes, we'll get it all. So let's do it. So they began that first they had to lift the mountain. This is a mountain that's thousands and thousands of miles high, and it's made of solid gold. All the demigods and all the demons together, they could not lift it. It was too heavy. So they were all crying and weeping. They were breaking their fingers and dislocating their arms. So they called out, Vishnu, save us, save us. So Vishnu came with Garuda and he picked up the mountain and put it in the ocean. So they were very happy. And they had to use Vasuki, this king of serpents, as a churning rope. So the demigods took the face side with his teeth, and the demons took the tail side. But the demons were thinking, because the demoniac mentality is you always think. As they say in English jargon, the grass is always greener on the other side. Whatever somebody else has, you want that. You're never satisfied with what you have. So they were thinking, if the demigods have the front side, why we get the back side? It's not fair. We strike. Going on strike, we will not do this. You get on the back side. We will get the front side. So they started churning. But as they churning, they started churning, the front side, Vasuki, got so hot that fire started flying out of his mouth. The demons were all getting scorched. And the demigods, they were also getting smoke all over them. So they, Vishnu, save us, save us. So then Vishnu, he sent very nice winds and rains. Nice rains, just to cool off Vasuki. And it was so difficult to chant that they were losing all their strength. So he invoked the demigods with the mode of goodness, the demons with the mode of passion, and Vasuki with the mode of ignorance. So actually the Lord was doing everything. Then they started churning. Something very difficult happened at that point. The whole mountain started going down into the ocean. And they were trying to hold it up, but they could not maintain that mountain. So again, they had to cry out for the Lord to save them. At that time, the Supreme Personality of God had incarnated as a beautiful, beautiful, gigantic tortoise. He moved so gracefully. Anyone who saw the movements of Sri Kurmadev, their hearts were enchanted with love. Have you ever seen a tortoise, how they move? Very graceful, very graceful. But they're only perverted reflection, part and parcels of Kurmadev. Usually we don't think tortoises are beautiful. They might be graceful, but this tortoise was the reservoir of all beauty. This is the inconceivable nature of Krishna's opulence. He can appear as a tortoise and attract the minds of all the world. He crawled underneath the Mandara Mountain. This big, big, massive mountain which all the demigods and all the demons could not sustain. He stood as a base and held it upon the back of his shell. Then they began to churn. Now the Lord wanted to give everyone a Jata Sukriti. He wanted them to all engage in a pleasing service to him. So by his own lila potency, he assumed an itch on his back. And as they were grinding this massive mountain, going each way, was scratching his back. Now, you know, even a human with big arms, when you have a scratch on your back, sometimes you can't reach it. You have to ask a friend, scratch my back. That's another English saying. That you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. This is so-called friendship in the material world. So he had a scratch on his back, so he accepted them all as his friends and allowed this nice service, and he was experiencing a very, very pleasant scratch to his itch. This is his mercy. But then the top part of the mountain started going back and forth. So again, they couldn't control it. So then Vishnu appeared, Ajita. And he stood on the top. He was holding it from the bottom, holding it on the top, giving him all the strength. He was doing everything. Ultimately, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani saravasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks himself, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, which are actually being carried out by nature. And who is controlling nature? Krishna. Prabhupada said, whose nature? Krishna's nature. Krishna is the ultimate. So Kurmadev, he established the basis of stability for his devotees to perform their service in the churning of the ocean of milk.
The conclusion of that churning was the nectar of devotion.
For a Vaishnava, we all want to perform our service. We all want to get that nectar of devotion. But it is not possible unless we have, by the mercy of the Lord, spiritual stability. And Kurmadeva is worshipped by the Vaishnavas for a spiritual basis in our life, to give us that foundation to build our bhakti upon. And it was for this reason that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the first deity that he gave Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to worship when he was just a little boy, was a deity of Kurmadev, to establish a spiritual foundation to give him stability in his devotional service. And just as we pray to Lord Nrsingadev to remove obstacles in the path of devotion, we pray to Lord Kurmadev to give us a foundation, a stability by which we can maintain our standard of Krishna consciousness and build upon it. The worship of Kurmadev is very essential for all of us, especially in our neophyte stages of Krishna consciousness. So we should pray to Lord Kurmadev. This is the most famous, perhaps the only famous, Kurma temple in the entire world. As far as I remember, it was the only deity of Kurmadev that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited, worshipped, and danced and chanted. According to the Mahatmyam of this place, it is described that Vedavyas was telling one great Muni that this place of Kurukshetra is very, very sacred. And he told the story of this temple. There was a mountain called Svetachala Parvat. And near that mountain lived a king. His name is Sweta Chakravarti. And his wife's name was Vishnupriya. Vishnupriya was very chaste, very pure in heart, and had great devotion to Lord Krishna. On an Ekadasi day, she was performing puja in her temple room to Lord Narayan. At that time, her husband had very great lusty desires. He came to her room, Hare Krishna, to enjoy his lusty desires with his wife. So being a chaste woman, she greeted him with great hospitality, had him sit on a golden throne. Then she went back into her puja room to continue her devotional service. She started to pray very helplessly to Lord Vishnu that today is Ekadasi. I have made vow that I will not engage in any type of sinful activity. I will completely immerse my mind only in your devotional service. But my husband is approaching me with lusty desires. Please save me. Please protect my vows to you on this holy Ekadasi day. This is a great lesson for any of you ladies who ever get put in this situation. The Lord always protects his devotee. As she prayed to Lord Vishnu, Kurmadev, who protects the stability and the foundation of a devotee's vows, he ordered Ganga Devi that this king wants to violate the chastity of the vows of my devotee. Go stop him. So Ganga Devi appeared in the temple, and then with a terrible, terrible, violent current, she came flowing out of the temple room right after King Sweta
Chakravarti. When he saw the river Ganges just flooding forward, rushing toward him, he became very frightened, ran away. He was running and running and running, but everywhere he ran, the Ganges was chasing right after him. He was running, running, but it was chasing after him. Finally, he climbed to the top of the Shweta Mountain. And there he asked his ministers, "What's happening? Why?" His chief minister told him that your wife's a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and you had lusty desires for her. My Ekadasi! She prayed to Vishnu to save her. And Kurmadev, just to protect his devotee, sent the river Ganges just to stop you. When the king heard this, he felt so guilty. Terrible! He was thinking that I am such a sinful person. He began to repent. But worse than that, he was thinking, I made an offense to my wife. And what kind of a great devotee is she that Lord Kurmadev personally arranged to protect her? He decided he had to perform great, great tapasya to purify himself from this offense. So he was repenting so much. He was just getting down on himself so bad that finally he fell unconscious. At that point, just when he fell unconscious, Narada Muni appeared. And Narada Muni said, "How can I serve you?" He said, "Please grant me a benediction. Grant me the benediction that I can have darshan of the great deity of Kurmadev." So Lord Narada Muni taught him a Kurma mantra and sat on the shores, the ocean, and of the sea, and explained to him the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very nicely. As he was chanting this mantra, Lord Shiva appeared. And then he was even more encouraged. So he came to a place called Chakratirtha, which is in this area of Kurukshetra. And there, Shweta Chakravarti, for 300 years, he stood on one toe with his arms raised. Then, during the summer, he stood in the center of a burning hot fire. In the rainy season, he stood in the rains and the cold. Then he started sitting on knives for a long time. Finally, his body was so completely exhausted due to this tapasya that he fell down. At that point, Narada Muni saw how serious he was, because Narada Muni was right next to him while he was performing this tapasya. And he prayed to Lord Vishnu, "Please come and give him your darshan." Upon the request of Narada Muni, this great king received the holy darshan of Lord Kurmadev, who stood before him with four arms. They went to one rishi's house. Together, Narada Muni, the king, and Kurma. And the king was so happy that he, "Because of you, O king, I'm getting the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So the king was getting so many auspicious blessings. They came to this place. Actually, the king was still so tired, and they were climbing this high mountain. And Kurmadev was so pleased by the king's endeavors to try to serve him and please him that he chanted the mantra Om, and immediately the mountain became flat. He came to Chakratirtha, and the king said, I want to make a nice kund to bathe in. That kund is very close by to here. And with his chakra, Kurmadev made a beautiful kund. And from the place where the chakra entered the ground, Mahalakshmi came out. And Mahalakshmi said to the Lord, what are you doing in this crazy world, where people are so sinful, addicted to intoxications and so many materialistic activities? What are you doing here? And the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, wherever my devotees are serving me, I want to be with them. My life is to give favor to my devotees. So it's a beautiful story. But Kurmadev appeared here in this place, and Narada Muni and the king decided that they wanted to have installation for the Kurma deity here. So they went to Brahmaloka, because Narada Muni's, the king asked, do you know the mantras to install the deity of Kurma? And Narada said, Lord Brahma knows the mantra, let's go. So they went to the abode of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma said, I will come down and I will personally install this deity. And when he came, Lord Shiva came, Lord Indra came, Vayu came, Agni Dev came, Surya came, all the principal gods, they all came to this place, and Lord Brahma performed the glorious installation ceremony of Sri Kurmadev. And from that time, this has been one of the very great holy places of pilgrimage for Vaishnavas. In fact, Sripad Ramanujacharya, he visited Jagannath Puri. And when he saw the way the pujaris were worshipping the deity, he was thinking that it was not correct. He explained to them what are the rules and regulations according to the Pancharatriki Vidhi. They were doing different tantra, yantra, mantras and other traditional ways. So that night, after he instructed them, Lord Jagannath appeared to Ramanujacharya's in his dream, right there in Puri, and told him, I am very satisfied with the love and devotion in which my pujaris are worshipping me. I don't want you to change it. And therefore, that night, Lord Jagannath personally threw Ramanujacharya to Kurmakshetra. According to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, first he threw him to Navadvip. He was thrown to Navadvip, and there he had darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him very wonderful darshan and instructions of how to go on with his particular devotional service of establishing the Vishishtadvaita philosophy, Siddhanta. And then Jagannath took him from Puri to Navadvip and then to Kurmakshetra. So when Ramanujacharya woke up, here he was in front of the deity of Kurmadev. He thought it was the deity of Shiva. Because you have all seen the darshan. He could look like a Shiva lingam. When Ramanujacharya was thinking he was Lord Shiva, in great gravity of devotion, he began to fast. But then he recognized that there was a head and a tail and little feet. It was Kurmadev, it was Vishnu. So he established very gorgeous worship of the deity and sent his own disciples and followers here to maintain a very high standard of worship. To this very day, when Ramanujacharya was here, he installed next to the deity of Kurmadev, which you saw, the deities of Sridevi and Bhudevi. When Sripad Madhvacharya came here in his pilgrimage, he worshipped Kurmadev, and he installed those deities inside of Sitaram. And Sripad Shankaracharya, when he came here to worship the deity, he also installed a deity of Sudarshan Chakra. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here,
he installed the congregational chanting of the whole day. The supreme, most accessible deity in this age of Kali Yuga. So we're very, very grateful and fortunate to be here today. We all know, due to the condition of the mind, how unstable and uncertain our devotional service is. And we have seen how even sincere devotees, due to the turbulence of this material world and the residue of previous conditionings, sometimes they go astray from the true path of bhakti. One time in the early days, 1960s, when one of the first devotees left the movement, devotees were shocked. How could anyone, after living in the miserable condition of material life, and coming to Krishna consciousness, where there's devotees, there's prasad, there's Harinam Kirtan, there's Krishna books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so much wonderful deities. Why would anyone want to... Srila Prabhupada said, do not be surprised who leaves this movement. Be surprised who stays. Because Maya is very strong. Not only is she very strong, but she's all-pervading. But there's no reason or need for anyone to fall away. If we simply follow Lord Chaitanya's teaching to the Kurma Brahman and Vasudeva, we'll never fall away. Just follow the regulative principles. Just chant the holy names as attentively as possible every day. Just keep nice association of devotees. Accept what's favorable for devotional service and reject what's unfavorable. But how to do that? We need the mercy of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to teach us that Kurmadev, he will give us a stable foundation to sustain our Krishna consciousness and build a whole lifetime of devotional service upon it.